Jesus,
So last week we started to look at the presentation on Guru Yoga. We spoke about that in order to attain realizations on the path or to develop realizations within oneself, one needs to rely on a teacher. And in particular, one needs to rely on an authentic or a genuine teacher. And last week we looked at the qualities of such a teacher.
In order to progress
with our spiritual development, it's crucial that we accumulate virtue. And the way that one accumulates virtue is, in combined with Guru Yoga, is to do this practice, or a way to accumulate virtue in the practice of Guru Yoga, is to do this practice within the context of the seven limb prayer. Or the seven limbs, sorry.
Yeah.
No, Kondakondakin, not so.
And
not say the seven limbs, one ahead, visualizing the merit field.
Page 313. So
to accumulate virtue, then one starts by visualizing the field of merit, or to accumulate merit, one starts by visualizing the field of merit, and then engages in the practice of the seven limb prayers. And then this is so that these are two of the three outlines within our text: the visualization of the merit field and the practice of the seven limbs. And then the third outline is praying with resolute trust. So these are the three divisions in where we are now in the chapter.
Pena, Mazuki, Tendota, and it's not the Mazulas, how Karguors, and ね、新道を達成し、新が、新がやこち、ここをレジで。ちょっと新がやこち、ここでな、新がでれてね、ね、せいじれ、んとんどじれ、ね、新、新道りた、まだじれ、なんぞのビジュタやんぞのパンドゴレジで、新がやこち、ここでしょ、じゃさんがんとき、ついてんじゃさやとやり、よやら、新がやこちめな、んでよやよまれ。ちょっと新がやこち、新がやこてここをレジで。おっぺりな、新がんぞのからここをせね、なんぞ、 なんぞれ、きびせんで、きびせんで、さむりきょうてんがんとまままごやだ。にょん、じばでま、めばしょくろ。じゃさんがんと、そうせいでいしぎそうだ、そんなもそうせいで、なんぞきびせんで、やぎこんぺとじょうばちいら、あね、でねぎ、てんせいしんがるまそんしんがなし、てんせいしんちこごれし。じゃだ、でねぎ、あんじゅぎ、らまだ、じそれてね、あんじゅぎ、やんてんがんじゅぎ、らちゃさんきょうえんさ、あね、
In order to sustain our lives, for our lives to continue and to develop, we need, and we have a number of needs. In particular, we need to eat nutritious food. So this nutritious food can only come from a certain place. Nutritious food doesn't come from our body, it doesn't come from the road. Rather, it needs to be planted in a field, and not just any field, but a field with good soil and good conditions. And then the right kinds of seeds need to be planted there. And then all our food needs will be fulfilled. So then, similar to this analogy, if we are having the wish to give rise to virtuous minds within ourselves and to accumulate large stores of virtue, to be able to do so, we need to accumulate this virtue on independence on a basis of a suitable field, a field in which we can accumulate virtue. And that is what is being referred to here as the merit field, or the field of virtue.
やこしもちここれ、しんがやこしもちれ、あんま、ラプタンでやこしんば、コロンはやこしんばここれ。でなじめんばればいいね、コロンメンギ、なぜでれめんがるから、ペンギューばでしゃだ、はごわち。あんま、はごわね、めにめんじえたんでやこしめばな、あんね、じまるぶな、しんらましんばいな、でねじねがんじゅぎ、どんなたたじゅとんばるわ。めね、いぎらくんじなるべきんで、コロンがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんがんが
in one's ordinary life, when one seeks some form of knowledge that one currently lacks, one goes to someone who's skilled in that particular field. So for example, when we were very young and we wanted to learn how to read and write, then we were either our parents taught us or we were sent to a school teacher. Because these would have been people who both had knowledge and experience, so they were able to guide us in how to learn, in the process of learning how to read and write. And this wasn't only the case when you're learning our ABCs, but even now, let's say we're not feeling well and we think we are ill, so we go to a doctor that we know and trust, or a doctor that has been recommended to us by someone that we trust. We describe our symptoms, they examine us, and they prescribe a course of action that we are to follow. And they do so on the basis of both their knowledge and their experience. And if we do this, going to either a skilled teacher or a skilled doctor, and this is someone who is an authentic, a genuine teacher or doctor, then it's probably going to turn out well. And all of us now, we can read and write, and we've been healed many times from our visits to the doctor. And that's because we've gone to someone who's skilled, and skilled in terms of both knowledge and experience. And in this way, we were able to develop a new skill or overcome a particular problem. So this illustration in the world is something that applies equally to our spiritual development. If we want to learn how to accumulate virtue or to accumulate merit and to do so in a particularly effective way, then the best way to be able to do that is to rely on those that have knowledge and experience in how to accumulate virtue very quickly and powerfully. So for this reason, we then engage in this practice of visualizing a field of merit, or visualizing a field of merit, and that is the basis upon which we accumulate tremendous stores of virtue. This process of visualizing the merit field. So this is, of course, it's a mental process. One is engaging in the process of visualization. So one then visualizes the merit field in terms of the form of the various beings and their colors, as well as the particular environment. So this is a mental process. And here, when one has a visualization of a merit field before one, then this serves as a basis to which one can perhaps make offerings to, or one can direct one's requests to. So the merit field serves as a basis to engage with mentally for such things as making offerings or making requests.
And the nigga so jing sa da ba la ya an ji ran su su ra ran gi an ji ge la ma ha gan sa da ba ne su su ra ran gi sa ji ge sa da ba ri yang ji chu ga ka ka la ya an ji ne lem rim da lem rim ko rong gi an ji ge so jing sa da sang
There are many different kinds of merit fields that one can visualize. So depending on a particular deity that one may practice, then one, for example, in Vajrasattva practice, there's a particular merit field, or one may visualize just a single deity that is what one is engaging in practice of, or one may visualize one's teacher, or in other traditions such as the Lama text or the Lama Chöpa, then there are various different merit fields described.
Yeah. dinan ma chojin sa tafsan de la gar sung gu sin ne de jin na ju ma le do wa de jin na ju ma de jin na ju ma kom na ta ane de yan de jin na ta chojin sa tap si de de la min na ju kom si de tang de la min na ju kom la bi de sa ga ne ju kom ne sa sa di na ba sha ga du ka la sa de che sha yi ne ngo de rang ga la ma yi ma sam tang gu de pe na ju ki chi jin jian bei yang kom ba ne Mohdi Sosaranga Lama Yimbala number, Chizinjame, number you were wished, Gomiada. Then Nanjuro Gombaina, Mohranga Lama Yimbala, number the Nanjumi number. The Dujisimu Gumdi Gazala, and then Mohranga Lama Yimbala, and then number the Dujisimu Nagasa Dujisimu Nambashe. Now those Gomnadi, Lamina Jurassic Gomnadi Sungoro.
Then it is some cosmic Karam Utsuku, then Karam. Dozen nel giorno di essere un
sogno. Ah, da Dina, la legge
di Dina. This, the text that we're referring to here, the words of my perfect teacher. So now they, in their context, or in their presentation on the deity, in the practice of Guru Yoga, they talk about oneself as the visualization relating to Vajrayogini, or oneself as Vajrayogini. But the process is the same in any form of Guru Yoga that one takes, whatever the deity may be, whether it's Manjushri or Vajrasattva, in that the deity that one is visualizing, that deity is seen to be of the same essence as one's teacher. So whatever the deity one is meditating, visualizing, again whether it's Manjushri or Vajrasattva or Vajrayogini or any other, then in this practice of Guru Yoga, that deity is seen as being in essence one's root teacher.
Dinan ma sunya de gar sun gor sne lama di ane guru rimo che guru rimo che che mo di guru rimo chim ba la nam ba di do jin na ju me nam ba sa tap che ko na so shi sa de mo guru rimo chim ba la nam ba di do jin na ju me nam ba on du sa ta ya ko mya de la ane da di
So as is presented here, one visualizes before one Vajrayogini, but Vajrayogini is in essence one's teacher, and here one's teacher then is presented as being Guru Rinpoche or Padmasambhava. So the visualization is of Vajrayogini, but one knows that in essence the Vajrayogini is indistinguishable from one's teacher, in this case Guru Rinpoche or Padmasambhava.
ये दांगंजुकी चेदी कबले या सोसुकी दूर या साथ या उन्होंने कुंगों ये सेह दी घर से ने दोजना जुमा कुई अनु कुई कने शुई में था अने चिकु कुदोरो बस कारे कने शुई में अने जैन रो जैनचेरो कारे शुई में अन चाल या कारे शुई में दूर से समताजे दोजना जुमा देने चुई समझे दूर या देने समताजे देन Modi Guru Machere Samje and Duchin Samdan Gomiatila that in Antuki Toshin Sata Laminaju Gone and Dika so that Dojinaju Mikitone and Toshin Sata to the Sumudua.
The merit field that's presented here is one visualizes Vajrayogini before oneself. So this is then the basis of one's visualization in terms of the shape of the deities, Vajrayogini, and the ornaments that are held and worn, as well as the color and the shape, etc. So that's all that would be described in the text in terms of the visualization that one is to embark on. But then that is described, but what then one keeps in mind throughout is that the deity that one is visualizing before one in this particular form is in essence one's root teacher. In this case, the root teacher then is Guru Rinpoche.
Some
In order to be able to eventually clearly and correctly visualize a particular deity, such as Vajrayogini, then one needs to know well what the deity looks like, and this can be done through looking at an image, such as a statue or a tanka, etc. And in this way, come to know very well what the deity looks like, and then that serves as the basis for one's visualization. And whatever but whatever deity one is engaging in the practice of, whether Vajrayogini or another, and whose deity, mantra one recites, one always keeps in mind that this deity that's being visualized before one is in essence one's root teacher. So again, the text here is referring to Vajrayogini and Guru Rinpoche, but that's just specific to, we can take as the illustration here. So whatever deity one visualizes, this deity is in essence one's root teacher, whomever that is, whether it's His Holiness or Lama Zopa Rinpoche, then one has the knowledge, or one knows that in essence Vajrayogini or Vajrasattva that one is visualizing before one is in essence one's root Lama, such as His Holiness or Lama Zopa or whomever. Just to emphasize these two points, that this process is done for whatever deity one is visualizing, whether it's Vajrasattva, Vajrayogini, Yamantaka, Gyasamaja, whichever deity one is visualizing, one knows in that it's in essence is one's root teacher, whomever one's root teacher is. As has been said on many times, the process is the same for whichever deity one visualizes. So for example, a deity that we're most familiar with and is easier therefore to visualize would be that of Buddha Shakyamuni. So if one chooses to visualize Buddha Shakyamuni before one,
Then one visualizes Buddha Shakyamuni in the way again I was saying, when the place up here, not somewhere far in the distance or high in the sky or low down, but up here. And one knows that in essence Buddha Shakyamuni and one's root teacher are indistinguishable. And once Buddha Shakyamuni then would be seated on a throne, as one sees in images, and his hands are in the same posture as in the images, and surrounded by a host of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. And Buddha Shakyamuni then would be dressed in the way as we know from the images, in monk's robes, etc. And then with this visualization, that is in essence one's teacher, one generates the belief that the deity that one is visualizing is actually present. So one transforms this way of thinking that this is a mere visualization to generate the certainty or the belief that the deity, in this case Buddha Shakyamuni, is actually present.
There's no fault in visualizing something that's simple, such as just the Buddha image, just Buddha Shakyamuni himself. One doesn't have to have a vast and elaborate visualization for the purposes of Guru Yoga. However, on the other hand, though, whilst there's no fault in a simple visualization such as the single image of Buddha Shakyamuni, if one is engaging in a particular practice, such as Lama Chöpa, which is quite an extensive merit field visualization, or the visualizations involved with particular deity practices, such as Vajrayogini or any of the others, if one then chooses to engage in a far more elaborate visualization such as those, this is of course fine to do. But don't think that there's a fault if one were to choose a far simpler visualization, such as a single Buddha image.
Then just to remind ourselves that the purpose of visualizing a field of merit is in order to accumulate merit. And we need to accumulate merit so as to be able to progress spiritually, to develop the mind of the Dharma within ourselves. So the purpose of visualizing the merit field is to accumulate merit, and the way that to do this, as presented here in our text, is through the seven limb practice. Then the seven limb practice is presented from page 317. And it's here it lists the seven limbs, starting with prostrations and then offerings. Thirdly, confession. Fourthly, requesting the Buddhist, rejoicing, that's right. Fourthly, rejoicing, requesting the Buddhas to teach, the Buddhas to remain amongst us, and then dedicating. Those are the seven limbs. So we'll start looking at them now, and this is on page 317.
Mm-hmm. 很恰切的样子的，但这样子恰恰是余的，提醒我做善待业的，这样子准备善业准备的，是下半的准备准备的善待业的，恰切余的，全部配余的，底部下余，其实伊拉恰恰余准备善业准备恰的了哇。现在的那个准备善业准备的了样子的，恰切余的，这样子的那个不啦，那所属于初心善待业善待下去，初心的了恰切果了，恰恰话些的。
So in this practice now, we've started with a visualization, and that visualization is the object to whom we engage in the seven limb practice towards. So the first of the seven limbs is that of prostration. So the object that one engages in prostration towards is one that's visualized merit field, whether it's an elaborate or a simple merit field. That is the object to whom one makes one's prostrations.
Mm-hmm. Dene, that chasava delay, and Lu you gonna chasava, and he you gonna chasava, now you gonna chasava, said, you may assume you gonna chasava, sumi gorua.
When one engages in prostrations, it's not merely a physical activity, but incorporates all three doors. It's a physical activity as well as a verbal and mental activity.
And in my chicti didua, niva yala, simbopuani. Dider Turje Tabig Tab Lam Turje Tib Lam Tab Mawa, Gawa Meba, Ombu Nimbig, Juyu Yimba, Ansem Dubchimbu, So Saba, Yin Chasu Labe, Paru Chimbe, Gawa Chimbu, So Dider, and a Gamma Gila, Dunne, Tesila Joy, Tesila Soba, Joy, you know.
Gonna, can I Gawa Sumpimbe? Okay, read the first paragraph. Let's see, the first paragraph in this section. The Vajrayana path includes many methods and is without great hardships. It is intended for those with sharp faculties. If we constantly train ourselves to accumulate merit and wisdom with a strong mind, everything that would otherwise take a whole great eon to accumulate through the six paramitas can be accomplished in an instant, and liberation can be attained in a single lifetime. Within the Vajrayana path, there are a vast array of different methods that one can engage in order to spiritually progress. Amongst these many methods, that of the seven limbs is a method that is both powerful and also easy to engage in. So then, and then the reason to that the Vajrayana path is a very skillful means, a very skillful method to engage in, is because when practicing the Vajrayana methods, one accumulates so much virtue very in a very short space of time, when compared to that of the perfection vehicle, the sutra vehicle. And amongst the many of the quick methods on the Vajrayana vehicle, then the seven limb prayer is one that's easy to understand,
but still powerful. As the title of the subsection on prostration, the antidote to pride. So here, the antidote, why is prostration seen as an antidote to pride? So in making one prostrations to one's teacher, one is accumulating virtue, and this virtue then serves to weaken our pride. And the reason we still have such strong afflictions, such as pride, is because of our limited store of virtue. As you mentioned a moment ago, when one engages in prostration, one does so with one's body, one's speech, and one's mind. So with mind being the most important, we'll start with this. We have our visualization before us, and as was mentioned now many times, the visualization of the merit field can be any deity or particular merit field, but we'll just use that of Buddha Shakyamuni for the purposes of explanation. So one engages in prostration mentally through first having one's visualization manifest, and then recalling the qualities of the Buddha's body, the qualities of the Buddha's speech, and the qualities of the Buddha's mind. So again, we're just going to be talking about doing this practice in relation to Buddha Shakyamuni. But if one is visualizing a different merit field, then one would engage in a similar practice. So one starts by bringing to mind the qualities of the Buddha. And so we have Buddha Shakyamuni visualized before us, and now we remind ourselves that in lifetimes previous to the Buddha becoming enlightened, becoming a Buddha, then the Buddha at a distant point was an ordinary being, just like ourselves. And then at one point, he made the decision that he's going to change his life, and he's going to strive to develop the paths within his continuum. And at this point he strove and he developed minds such as definite emergence, love and compassion, bodhicitta itself,
as well as the wisdom realizing emptiness. Not only did he develop these minds within himself, but he engaged in the mental cultivation and the actual practice of the six perfections. Not only then did he engage in this vast array of practices, but he was doing so in order to accumulate merit. And he was wanting to accumulate merit for the benefit of all sentient beings. And all sentient beings, of course, includes ourselves now, standing here before the Buddha. So the Buddha engaged in this vast array of practices for an immense length of time to accumulate merit so as to be of greatest benefit to all sentient beings, to help us to spiritually develop and overcome our own difficulties and achieve lasting happiness. And the Buddha engaged in these practices with such a motivation and eventually attained the state of enlightenment. And this state has the various mental qualities of having eliminated all the faults from his mind completely. So all the afflicted minds, together with their seeds, are completely eradicated. And moreover, all the good qualities, they have been developed in the mind of a Buddha and been developed to their fullest extent. So here, recalling the qualities of the Buddha, we start by reminding ourselves that he was once ordinary like us, and then strove single-pointedly, wholeheartedly, to attain enlightenment so as to be of benefit to us. And then he reflects on his individual qualities, starting with the qualities of his mind.
The
mind of the Buddha is always motivated by love and compassion to be of benefit to all sentient beings, to lead all sentient beings to a state completely separated from suffering, in a state of lasting happiness. So this mind of a Buddha is always pervaded by a motivation of love and compassion.
When we reflect, having reflected on the qualities of the Buddha's mind, we then reflect on the qualities of the Buddha's speech. So the Buddha's speech is marked by him being able to teach the Dharma in an unmistaken way due to his fully developed knowledge and experience. So he's able to teach in an unmistaken manner to an infinite number of sentient beings in accordance with their specific needs. And it's through his teachings that he's able to lead beings to the state where they become a child of the Buddha, where they become bodhisattvas, and lead them further to the point where they become Arya beings and eventually become either foe destroyers or become fully and completely enlightened. So all good qualities such as those come about in dependence on the qualities of the speech of the Buddha. And having reflected on, firstly, seeing how the Buddha was ordinary, but then strove for our sake and became enlightened, we then reflected on the qualities of the Buddha's mind, then the speech, and now the body, the qualities of the Buddha's body. So a Buddha is able to emanate forms to all realms to benefit all beings, no matter where they are or what type of being they are. So the Buddha is able to teach. A Buddha is able to teach gods, humans, animals, etc., or benefit these beings in whatever form is most suitable to those beings. And the Buddha is not limited in by being able to only be in one place at one time, but he is completely unobstructed in this way, and thereby can be wherever is of most benefit, with as many beings as can be done. If we had the time, we could really spend a long while looking at the qualities of the Buddha's body, because there's a list of 80 minor marks and 32 major marks, so 112 marks and signs that show all the qualities, or that indicate all the qualities of a Buddha's body. But we don't have the opportunity to look at all those now.
The way we've described the qualities of the Buddha's body, speech, and mind, these can be recalled very quickly when one is engaging in this practice of prostration. So, recalling the qualities in a simple way then is beneficial and effective, rather than something vast and expansive. But also, though, one should recall really five levels of qualities to the Buddha. So we've looked at body, speech, and mind. And fourthly, we should also look at the wisdom of a Buddha. So this then refers to the omniscient mind of a Buddha, that in any moment, the Buddha, through his omniscient mind, knows all the minds of sentient beings, knows all phenomena, etc. There's nothing that is unknown by the Buddha. So that will be the fourth quality, the quality of wisdom. And the fifth one is that of loving kindness. And it's due to this quality of loving kindness developed through love and compassion and bodhicitta that the Buddha is always looking for ways and then engaging in beneficial activities for others. Without this quality of loving kindness, the Buddha would not be engaging in help for others. So this is the element that compels the Buddha to keep helping sentient beings. So it's through all these qualities that these qualities of the Buddha, that the Buddha sends out limitless emanations to teach beings or to benefit beings in whatever way is most suitable for that being at that time. So here one generates this awareness of all the qualities of the Buddha, and naturally one's mind will turn towards the Buddha seeking refuge or going to protection to the Buddha. And then and moreover, naturally one will give rise to the wish, may I develop these qualities too. May I also develop all those individual qualities that the Buddha developed, or the being that would become the Buddha developed on his path to enlightenment, and develop thereby all the qualities of a Buddha within myself as quickly as possible. So with this mind of wanting to become just like the Buddha, wanting to develop all those same qualities, one then engages in the limb or the practice of prostrations. Before engaging in the actual physical activity of prostrations, then the cultivation of the motivation really is crucial. So the importance of motivation in terms of any practice, this really cannot be overemphasized. So here with the practice of prostrations, just like any other practice, one has to generate a powerful motivation for that same practice to be particularly effective. So depending on whatever one's heart wish is, this is the motivation to develop. So we all want to be free of suffering. We're the same in this way. And wanting to be freed from suffering, wanting to be liberated from suffering, then this is a suitable motivation in order to engage in prostrations with. Wanting to become like a Buddha who has completely eliminated all faults from one's mind, and one wants to be liberated from suffering, this is a suitable motivation to engage in prostrations. Moreover, though, some will have the motivation that is much vaster than that. They will not only have given rise to this clear and unmistaken understanding of the sufferings of cyclic existence and wanting to be freed of this, but they will understand that all sentient beings are the same as them in that they want to be freed from suffering, but they remain trapped within cyclic existence for the same reasons. So with this far greater motivation of wanting to be freed from cyclic existence, but to attain enlightenment so as to help others, then with this far more powerful motivation of the Mahayana, one is then ready to engage in the physical activity of prostrations.
Dini samta, an delia ngan zuki, diji yuen dien chasana samta, Dinigi some die, Dinni, and you end there some dodging, and Dina, you end there in Hale, Jung or Show, some daddy, Yi Chari La Ruada. They each and it depends on what you're going to do. Yon yo mare, some something of the Tungo mare, and Dinni some dodging, Dinni some dodging, and Dinni Giri was in it, and it Giri, Giri Maris, Dinni standing on the Panto Karingures. Then Mela do Chile, Yore, some dodging, I can't do something Ruada.
You may well be thinking, oh, this is all a bit silly, because I've been told I must visualize something either very elaborate or just the Buddha before oneself, and then recall all the wonderful qualities that a Buddha has developed, and then generate the aspiration, may I too do so? What's the point of this? Because as soon as you open your eyes, well, it's clear, no Buddha. There's no Buddha before one. Or if one keeps one's eyes closed and one has this visualization and reaches out and touches, can't touch that Buddha. So one may think, what's the point of all of this? So you may well think, what a waste of time, this is really stupid.
Some Pando in Gore, Carson, and get that almost Chigomar, the Deniki, Deni Yore, some Mervache, some Danche, Mansulia, Digi Gui, and then Sungu, and then two, and then Dange, Dambi Cablia, Deniki Dandy Be Cab, Dambi Coron, some Coron Gavarita. Deniki Damba, the Gavarica, those Kazi, Shukche, Dambana, Sangil, Deva, Shukche, Ligore, Chesanganzuki, Deva, Kazi, Shukche, Lena. Sanji,
There's actually great benefit in recalling the qualities of the Buddha. Because when one recalls the qualities of the Buddha, that mere act of recollection is virtuous. Then the stronger that recollection, the more virtue one accumulates. And this follows because recalling the qualities of the Buddha leads to and this natural wish arising to attain them oneself. And the stronger one recalls the qualities of the Buddha, the stronger the wish is to attain them oneself. Then the third step that comes from this is, having recalled the qualities of the Buddha, then one generates the wish to develop them oneself, and then the third step, one strengthens the wish to develop them, to train one's mind so as to attain those self-same qualities. And this then has the result of leading to the attainment of Buddhahood nearing. So again, through recalling the qualities of the Buddha, this leads to one generating the wish, may I develop these too. I want to have these same qualities as well. And the stronger that then is, the stronger the determination to engage in the various practices, the various meditations, to develop these qualities within oneself, and then that leads to Buddhahood itself approaching. And it's said thus, the merit that one engages, or the merit that one accumulates from such a practice, if it were to take form, it certainly would be far more than this mere continent of Australia. In fact, the merit that would be accumulated, if it took form, couldn't even fit into our entire world.
And dubje dine ge an cholam ba da cholam bi ge lam nyamlen je de ngandu chanju sem bi ge yamlen je ne chanju sem ba cholam ba sa de za da dine ge le yong de kap la dine cholam chung ding sa de to ngur dine le de dine ku di ge dine ngos la je gu or gu ngone sa ju ne gu ngos ji di ge gu ngone ra ngos che she ba de gu gu or che su ngos am ju gu gu or che sang ngos gu ngone ya ki shi ji ya da ma su ya cha sang yong gu or che sang ngos de da du su mi ba ji ne gu gu or dine ngos gu ba na Then Jumba Sanji Jim do Nuba Yoba, the Delia, Mahanto gets him, then put child Sanji Kudim was Jayung, Jetuor.
Then a Tokanki, a Tokanki Tokan,
Tokan, Tokan, Tokan, Tokan, Tokan, Tokan, Tokan, Tokan, Tokan, Tokan, Tokan, Tokan, Tokan, Tokan, Tokan, Tokan, Tokan, Tokan, Tokan, Tokan, Tokan, Tokan,
Tokan, Tokan, Tokan, Tokan, Tokan, Tokan, Tokan, Tokan, Tokan, Tokan, Tokan, through the power of the Buddha, one will receive blessings through developing this visualization. And moreover, as one develops more and more familiarity with the visualization, as well as more merits and good qualities and reduces one's faults, this visualization starts to become stabler. And it comes to the point then the visualization becomes so stable that one feels that you could reach out and touch it. And this then is a sign that one has attained karma abiding. Let's put it another way, when one has attained karma abiding, then the visualization is so real that you could feel this as if you could reach out and touch it. Then, when one has such a visualization, quality of visualization, and one develops further good qualities and attains the bodhisattva path of accumulation and progresses through the various levels, when one reaches the middling level of from the small, the middling, and the great level of the path of the bodhisattva's path of accumulation, when one's on the middle level of the path of accumulation, then one can actually interact with this Buddha before oneself. And one is able to receive teachings from the Buddha before oneself.
Yalanga salariawa cha sawa sur denga jugi lagwani da pimoni da beho sal thu che cha the de je sa de ya ne lagwa ru temo che du kabla ma zo lagwa tang bo ne ji zu du ya lagwa temo che de ne gi du yi de temo yin du nang lo dang che an du xin ne ko ma do de ne che ya yo ma re che de de ne che ya yo ma re che dan du yi du xin ne ko dong me do be ma ne ko dong nang lo du yi no wo yi ku che Nobody much less, and nobody juvena, then juvena, lava, nalola, your lucene, chat, lava, temoja, dinisha, what is. And Luce, the Mutebigi, called Temoja, Muteva, Hindu, and the two horse, lava, temoja, that dinner. As Nambi, Temoja, the Duni, the Duce, and Tewani, the Duce, on Duce, Duce, and called Temoja, that dela, denigi, Nambo, Chiwolo, Yace, Dene, Tawace. Dene jigi jimba je dene ninga je ane du che de di shi shi yong gore ji da ji wo se de ane u zu zu da de le ji de ane nya san yi ze bu xia qiao de dene ne sung sung ge dene tu xia de gu sung tu dene ge de de shi ji ha ji jie ya sung ji ha ji yong gore dene gao su de ji wo xi jimba ji ninga je ji de gu sung tu sung yuan de gu 顾节在毛巴呢 아다 가르치나 지고래 시제야디 고송 투그림바 실이야 아니 당보디 우뚝도 삼다 지그래
데니디 디시 시이나 데니 시퍼데 카리친 그래베
데레 투크자 그래
응 디투크 니라
디송
니파
So in terms of prostration, then we've spoken about the mental aspect of prostrating. And this is primarily then about generating the appropriate or suitable motivation. So then in terms of the physical aspect to prostrating, so when one engages in prostrations, one touches 5 points of one's body to the ground, the forehead, one's two palms and two knees. So these are the 5 points that actually touch the ground. And one's hands, one joins in the way they can, the washe, with one's palms together in the prayer position, but their palms are not joined tightly together, but are rather that the fingers are, the palms are apart, the fingers are joined, but the palms are apart. So it's the habits or the practice of non-Buddhists to join their palms together. Buddhists keep the palms apart, and the middle fingers not touching, the other fingers touching. And the symbolism here is that one can imagine that either one is holding a lotus bud between one's hands, a lotus bud that is about to bloom, or one is holding a wish-fulfilling jewel within the palms of one's hands. Hence, the palms are not joined, but rather are slightly apart. And then one touches one's joined palms to either 3 or 4 parts of the body, as Gena showed. So to the crown, to the throat, and to the heart, representing and doing so with an aspiration to develop the quality of the Buddha's body, the qualities of the Buddha's speech, and the quality of the Buddha's mind. So that's what one should have in mind whilst touching the palms of one's hand to one's crown, to one's throat, and to one's heart. And that's if one then does that's for 3. If one touches 4 places, it's the same 3, but one goes from the crown to the between the eyes, and then to the throat and the heart. And here the crown and the throat and the heart again represent the aspiration to develop the qualities of the Buddha's body, speech, and mind. But the one between the eyes is also to do with the qualities of the Buddha's body, in particular relating to, I really don't know what it's called, but he has one of the 112 marks and signs is between his eyes. It's a tightly curled hair that goes clockwise or counterclockwise. So that is what it represents, this aspiration again to develop the qualities of the Buddha's body. So that's how one engages physically in prostrations. When placing one's palms on the crown of one's head, I forgot to mention earlier, so this is then to develop the qualities of the Buddha's body, and one does so through touching in reference to where the Buddha has an ushnisha. So the aspiration to develop an ushnisha, or to, if one does the fall, to this hair between one's eyes. But don't worry, it's not that you aren't going to get very quickly this ushnisha growing on the crown of your head. This is something that only actual Buddhas have. So don't worry, you're not going to have to be rushed to the hospital because of some protuberance growing on your head. In terms of the speech, we've spoken about the mind during prostrations, the mental aspect of prostrations, and the physical aspects, and then the verbal aspects. So here one would recite verses such as those praising the qualities of the Buddha.
ね、何人がで、だ、邪魔、でま、もてじしゃじゃちゃせでこれ、てち、ちゃまそう。じゃ、地図そうそう。でね、ざまの、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ、だ rang se jigre xian se de simje be ma zu pao de ba rang dewa na dewa de ba de dung mi de ba na je simje jan tam che tin ge ji ba ri yin da simje tam che dewa de den ba shu o simje simje de dung da zha ba shu di yin zang ge ane simje de dewa de den ba de dung da de yu dun da la yang ge ane ji ge yin ge ji ge di yin zang ge simje tam ji sa yu ge ba to ba ji sem bi ge da gu nuo le ma su na ge jiang ju sem tar ba dang de jiang ju sem ye sam ta ジャンバジャワジャンジュセムサムタ。たすみじゃたむじさんよごもとごんだ。だんぎさんよごもとばれや。あんがあとぐそさごごれ。ちょそさわざんぎ。だってんばさんよじゅんでて。だくとにのこんごえ。だんぎてんばさんよじゅんでんでや。あんちげやちゃちゃち。あんぎべね、あ、じゃあ、くせちゃせぎ。さんじゅそさ。そさえとんだらちゃせぎ。せんべげ。さんだでちゃせで。
で、まさに準備で行くことする予定でいば、さまた、で、よれ、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備で、準備
ཁྱི ཕྱད མི ཁྱི ཕྱི ཁྱི
Hoping to get a bit further with the first of the seven limbs on prostrations, but we all need to continue it next week. So then just to recap what we looked at tonight. So we've been looking at first the reason that one needs to generate a visualization. So this is the field of merit, and one requires an object in which to engage with so as to make merit. So this would be the merit field. And we spoke about the different types of merit fields that one can choose to visualize. And then in relation to that merit field, one does the practice of the seven limbs. And we started to look at prostrations tonight, and we covered the most important aspects, and that is the mental aspect of prostrations, namely the motivation. So what you heard tonight then about the motivation, it's very similar to what hopefully you're doing in your morning meditations, where you're thinking about the sufferings, the suffering nature of cyclic existence, and generating this mind of disenchantment towards cyclic existence, seeing samsara as being pervaded by suffering and having no worthwhile essence, having nothing worthy of striving for, and this then leading to the wish to attain liberation from suffering. And then one's meditation in the morning should go beyond one's own mere wish for liberation, but to take this understanding and apply it to others. Because others are just like us in wanting to be freed of suffering, and others are just like us in wanting to experience only lasting happiness. Really, the only difference one can point to is that we are one, and others are innumerable in number. And all of these beings also want to be free of suffering. Yet they remain trapped in ignorance of not even knowing their suffering, let alone of what those causes are, or the path to the mental paths to develop so as to become freed of this. And the only way that these beings can become freed of suffering is to develop the mind of the Dharma within them, and they can only do this through receiving teachings and putting those teachings into practice. So again, that situation and our situation is the same, with the difference being that we have met a qualified spiritual friend and we are now putting into practice the teachings that we've received, developing these minds within us and making progress to liberation and enlightenment. And other beings are stuck without this knowledge, still blinded by ignorance. And therefore, and we use this understanding then to generate the sense of responsibility to free all beings from suffering. And to do so, one needs to become the most skilled of guides, to become a Buddha. With this intention, with this this firm wish, one generates the mind of bodhicitta. Then when one goes into the meditation on the activities of a bodhisattva, or the six practices of the six perfections, then at this one point one can engage in prostrations, because one now has generated the mind of bodhicitta, and to become a Buddha, one requires merit. In order to advance spiritually, to develop these minds of the Dharma, one requires merit. So here then one recalls all the qualities of the Buddha's body, speech and mind, and with those those being recalled, naturally the wish will arise that we can develop them too, so that we can be of greatest benefit to others. And with this motivation to become pure and perfect just like the Buddha, one engages in the physical act of prostration, whether it's three or more, whatever one has time to do, one should do so. And one can recite some verses praising the qualities of the Buddha, or if one hasn't memorized such verses, then one can recite the Buddha's name mantra. And whilst reciting the mantra of the Buddha or the deity one's visualizing, then one engages in some prostrations, and thereby attains blessings from the Buddha, accumulates virtue, and will progress towards enlightenment. So we'll finish here for tonight, but if you have some questions, then please do feel free to ask. Okay, thank you.